I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold Blooded, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern. Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one case, but almost a dozen. Listen to Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm George Norrie, and welcome to the new iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network. Like us on Facebook, tell your friends, and share us with everyone. This is an exciting new network that will feature podcasts of the paranormal, supernatural, and the unexplained. Now please sit back and enjoy Dark Becomes Light with Heidi Hollis.
Welcome to our podcast. Please be aware the thoughts and opinions expressed by the host are their thoughts and opinions only and do not reflect those of iHeartMedia, iHeartRadio, Coast to Coast AM, employees of Premier Networks, or their sponsors and associates. We would like to encourage you to do your own research and discover the subject matter for yourself.
Listening to Dark Becomes Light with me, Heidi Hollis, on the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network. Welcome to my show. Remember, each week, this is the place you go to when you want to hear the latest when it comes to anything out of the ordinary. From, hello, shadow people to Hat Man, Bigfoot to Loch Ness, and all of the above and in-betweens. Yep, you have come to the right place. What does that indicate? What does that always mean? Well, one thing quite unique about my program is I welcome you, the listener, to go to my main website and tell me your stories. Tell me what you've experienced, near-death experiences, angels, all that stuff. I don't care if Bigfoot threw like a can at your window. I don't know why he would do that, but I don't care if he does that even. So just tell me about it. Is there a rumor in the family? I mean, what's going on? Because on this show, we like to find the patterns, discuss them. And I do have fun on this program. I do. I really do. I'm really, contrary to popular belief, I'm just kidding. I have a good time all the time. But it can be really dark and heavy stuff, you know, and if there's ever a criticism I've ever received, it's like, wow, you sound like you're enjoying this demonic stuff way too much. And I'm like, no, you don't understand. It's like, I want to be able to talk about all these things as I would anything. And I am pretty laid back and try to keep things on the up and up. And I just find that to be important because when we put it in a category where you have to be scary and all that, it can shut down a lot of brains and we do not need any more closed brains around here. So anywho, I got to tell you guys, today is an interesting program. I have a guest that covers something quite unique. His name is Eli Coberly, and he's going to be discussing his new book, War in the Hearts of Men. And it's a balance of a lot of different things. You have to hear him because it's a topic that I personally am not as well versed in, symbology, cosmology, you know, it's like yoga. I don't know how to meditate to save my life. I always think one day I'll try more, but I usually just fall asleep when I've tried. It's really bad, but that's just so me. But anyways, I heard that's the first step is to relax, is fall asleep, and then hopefully meditate and guide it. But I have really lucid dreams, so I control a lot what's going on, and a lot of out-of-body experiences all the time. So I call myself a slider. I think I'm sliding into people's bodies quite a bit, and it has been something that it happens. So anyways, guess what we're going to discuss in this first segment before I get my guest on after the break. I have received a lot of people sending me messages saying, hey, Heidi, your topic that you put out there, Hatman, there's this thing about Benadryl. Oh, I don't even want to repeat it almost. It's like people taking Benadryl to have meetings with Hatman. I should say that's the next layer of this craziness that people are doing. It's like, how do you feel about that? The anger, the upsetness. Who would want to conjure these things? And that guy in particular, who would want to do that? That is not okay. That is not okay. That is such dangerous stuff. I mean, why don't you just... Well, I'm not even going to make suggestions. Because it's just so bad. I'm like, I don't know why anybody would want to welcome something that's the equivalent of the devil in your life. Or in your bed, for that matter. Or in your bedroom. To even look at you. Walking down the street. You would not... I have had people who've seen him once and it's like disrupted their life. It is so dangerous. I don't know why people have found this to be a fascinating thing. And I'll tell you also, this is one of the reasons why I feel quite a bit of responsibility in putting word out there on these topics. I've discussed it here in this program. I remember before I was born, I remember agreeing to discuss these things, to make people aware, because they were happening anyways. But the responsibility is, you know, giving the name to this thing and people misspell it and make it like it's Batman or something. I have two separate words, Hatman. Just because. And then people want to judge, well, that's that's the only reason why you would do it that way is to say it's just a man in a hat. I don't want to give them too much respect. You understand me? One of the reasons, why trademark the phenomenon? You know, we've all been experiencing. Well, no, I trademarked the name of it, trying to help slow the roll of this thing that people are, again, now it's really clear, finding as entertainment, a way to tap into the other world, you know, but it's not been an easy thing. It's not been an easy task as, at one point, you know, as a regular on Coast to Coast as a guest and I have millions and millions of listeners worldwide. So people heard me talking about this, giving it a name, Hatman and the Shadow People phenomenon. So to say they didn't know where it came from, well, if you know the topic, it trickled down. It's become this other beast of bored young adults and teens and kids. Like, you want to see something spooky? Let's do this. It's like, no. It's like, taking it to another level of, oh, no, this is going to cause you problems. On a very deep soul-like level. So, please, anybody within earshot, if you know of somebody that's discussing doing that, these various social media platforms that are having barrages of people talking on these topics without knowing what they're dealing with. And again, another element of the responsibility is... even when like producers and stuff come or people that's like, I want to do a book on this I want to, focus my whole life on these topics. I'm like, watch out. Okay. Because, I've been involved in projects that have had major issues because they focused on these topics. So people have their assumptions. Why would somebody want to, it's not to quite literally own something. It's to try to hope that people will be deterred to not dive as deep. You know what I'm saying? It's like so dangerous on a soul level. And it's like, and then of course there's the building up their name to be somebody to go to on these subjects, and they're like, oh, and don't be afraid of it, by the way. It's okay. It's just there to watch. Oh, no. Oh, no. It's not entertainment. And there's a big risk to people that look into these topics at a level they just can't imagine. And I'll give you a quick example of, without giving too much detail, of somebody that approached and said, I'm going to go make a film on this. I'm like, don't do it. Please don't. And they didn't listen. And they regretted their decision. And honestly, I am not kidding you when I say just today I learned of the outcome of that adventure. And this person is no longer in the public eye, let's put it that way. They didn't die, from my understanding, but it's just bad. It's just bad, guys. Just bad. It just doesn't ever seem to go well. And I understood in my life agreement that I'm supposed to do this stuff. And I feel extra protected, you know, and I don't know. I mean, I've been doing okay with it thus far, and I'm a one-woman show. I don't have a big team of people saying, hoorah, you know, Heidi, go and do that. Don't forget this other thing that you got going on over here. No, it's just me doing my best, trying to follow through on what I agree to do. And it's something I would never, ever change. And, you know, letting people know in the millions about Two Phenomenon was a humbling experience, a very scary experience. Imagine this from somebody who was absolutely terrified of any amount of public speaking. But out of necessity and getting my memories back, I knew I needed to, I had to. So it's been really quite a ride. And I was just talking to a friend today actually about how I needed to take breaks in the beginning. Like, oh, I can't talk on these things anymore. Like, I just needed to have some normalcy. Like, I was a college kid, just like, oh, I need to breathe. And, you know, it was quite a process. And now I'm like, I just kind of steadily go and get a little exhausted and then keep going and get a little exhausted and keep going. The exhausting part now is seeing the explosion of people offering their souls up to Satan. Yeah. Because that's what's going on. People are getting possessed by Hatman. People are getting abused by it. And it's on such a grand, big scale. If it is not handled properly, it's going to end very bad for all involved. I've seen it on a horrible scale, whether they're physically attacked, emotionally attacked, spiritually attacked, medically. I mean, every level. So, yeah, the warning is out there. And, you know, for people that are dabbling in it and it's like, well, it doesn't bother me. You know, I'm touching on this and I'm not having anything happen. You know, there's something to be said about people who are doing the work of dark stuff, too. I mean, we don't know the intentions behind a lot of stuff and a lot of people. So we got to be weary and leery of that as well. That's a real element, let me tell you. Wow. Well, guys, I hope that helped clear my position on it. It ain't good. It's not entertainment. It is to be contained. How about that? All right, you guys, you are listening to Dark Becomes Light with me, Heidi Hollis, on the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network. Stick around. We'll be right back with Eli Coverley.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold-Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern.
It's just a shame, you know, that they took him from us.
Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, knocking on doors, uncovering new evidence, including the DNA of a potential killer.
My name is Danny Smith. I'm a detective with Miramar Police Department. This is Scott Weinberger. We're actually reopening an old case, and your name came up.
Untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one murder, but almost a dozen.
I thought they were going to kill me, so I kept my mouth shut, and I didn't say anything. All these years, I didn't say anything.
Listen to Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s.
She looked like a million bucks.
With zero qualifications.
She had a Harvard plaque.
Tricks her way past a wall of lawyers and agents.
She's got all of these Maseratis and Bentleys all in the driveway.
Is it like a mansion?
Yes, it's a mansion that this queen of the con uses to scam some of the biggest names in professional sports out of untold fortunes.
About $6 million.
Approximately $11 million.
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
Employing whatever means necessary to bleed her victims dry.
She would probably have sex with one of her clients.
Hide your money in your old rich man, because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Started talking about this incident. Drugs and officials cover up. You couldn't believe it.
From iHeart Podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
There's no way that that guy's a doctor.
I'm Paul Pringle, and I'm an investigative reporter for the LA Times. This is the story of an investigation that starts in a hotel room in Pasadena, California, and reaches all the way to the top of two of the most powerful institutions in the city of Los Angeles.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
This is Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption.
We're always going to have predators. It's the good people who stand by and do nothing that allow them to flourish.
Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. You are listening to Dark Becomes Light with me, Heidi Hollis, on the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network. As promised, I have Eli Coverly. He is a world traveler and seeker of truth through adventure. And at 17, he left his home to fulfill his dream of becoming an Army paratrooper. And at 20, he was honorably discharged and began his search for a new dream. Eli's writing has taken him worldwide to explore a few of the bigger questions of our human existence, and his prophetic worldview combines military service, counterculture, and the anthropology and archaeology of the world's religious symbols. He has studied the migration of the indigenous and ingested their medicine, absorbed their art, and embodied their cosmovision. So, in The War in the Hearts of Men, Eli's new book, he details his lifelong quest to understand the Maya culture and its impact on the present. He also shares his discovery of the artistry of stone-carved symbols on the heels of his extensive travels to both Central and South America. A yoga therapist, Eli has been a student of yoga for over a decade, and when he isn't writing or practicing yoga, Eli can be found examining the Tibetan Buddhist tradition, sitting in ceremony with Maya priests, and traversing caves deep in the Belize jungle. So I would like to welcome Eli Coberly to the show. How are you doing today there, Eli?
I'm great, Heidi. Thanks for asking.
Yeah, so you've got a world of experiences that top most people that I know. quite the background there. So tell me a little bit about how you got into seeking the answers that you have.
Well, I noticed how people relate, and I noticed that after learning yoga, I noticed the two sexes, the masculine and feminine, and how they're not innate to necessarily a male or a female, that we all have those traits within us. And I wanted to explain a lot of the reasons why the feminine had been suppressed. And so me having a type A mind and very analytical, I found a way to explain it technically and embody the practices around the world.
Oh, no, that's fascinating, because I do hear more of these esoteric approaches, and you came about it for the type A, like you said. It's like, that's interesting. That's something I don't hear about all the time. So tell us how that, you know, has gone. I mean, so you were looking and traveling, following your service. We appreciate you. And how did that begin with some of the travels? What was the first place that you went to that helped you connect some of these dots?
Well, the first place was actually Caracol in Belize in the jungle. It's a Maya site, and it means snail in Spanish, but it's really a spiral. So it sort of spiraled out from there, and I began to become more interested in why we were here and what, you know, and it was right before the 2012 thing, and everyone was afraid of all these things, and you know, the end of the world, doomsday, and I thought, oh, I don't know about that, and I kind of started learning more about the cyclical nature of time and relationship to the universe and things like that, the cosmology essentially.
Can you expand a bit on that? Like, so you were, what is it exactly? The cosmology of what? Like, how did you, what was it?
Well, I mean, there specifically, the Maya cosmology, the people of Central America, the indigenous, and how they have the relation to the sun, moon, and stars, like the Vedic tradition of India. And so yoga and Hatha yoga means sun and moon, and it means a relationship between the masculine and the feminine within. And so I discovered that people around the world, indigenous or otherwise, were practicing these things just like the ancient yogis. And one in particular was the Maya people that I really warmed up to after going there. And I started to go site after site after site and region after region. And I developed sort of opinion on how it sort of went down based on reading some of the codexes and studying a number of the glyphs.
Yeah.
And so, so what I started to realize is that yoga is essentially universal throughout the world, and I started to study the art and the architecture and notice the similarities, and I noticed that the yoking, which yoga means to yoke, the yoking of the masculine and the feminine, was a embodied practice that went much deeper than you'd ever know.
Wow. You know, I see you're a yoga therapist, and it's whenever I think of it, it just seems to be one of those very quiet, peaceful acts that I can never do. Like I fall asleep if I'm sitting trying to meditate, you know, and do anything that looks or feels like it's a relaxing type of thing. And they say, well, that's the first step. You know, you're good at this. I'm like, I'm kind of getting comfortable to take a nap, I guess. But I mean, how does a person, you know, expand into this to get this better knowledge? Your book is called War in the Hearts of Men, and here you're a yoga therapist. So, I mean, it sounds like it contrasts, but you found this method to link everything because it is a worldwide feel or vibe out there as you're explaining. So where did it lead you, and how do people tap in?
Well, I mean, I needed to have a reason to explore these inner and outer landscapes of the micro and macrocosm of myself and the world, because I'd experienced things in the army and overseas that were damaging to my psyche and traumatic. And so so I think a lot of people I realize are dealing with trauma from war, and it's not just because of how they they're necessarily in war, but maybe generationally or passed down through DNA. We've all been affected by it. And so, you know, this war within, this war without is the same concept. So, you know, and if you sit and you meditate and take a deep breath, one breath is better than no breaths. So I guess you're asking, how can one get started in something like this?
Yeah.
For me, I just was forced to. I was helping a friend move, and he lived in the Midwest, and he was getting his doctorate, and I had time on my hands. And so he said, come to yoga every morning. I went to yoga.
Oh, wow. Really? I've been invited to some strange things too, but I'm not good at it. I just like, oh, that's fascinating. I'm standing over here to watch you do it. So you just like, it just hit that right note for you.
Yeah. I was having trouble anyway, kind of coming to terms with stuff. You know, if you have, you know, later on, you know, actually just this past year, I got diagnosed with PTSD. So from the military experience, and I was masking it for a really long time, and yoga was the thing that brought it up. And then, since I'm such a type A and interested in all these, I was into extreme sports and all this, I started to realize like yoga is for everyone. It's not just a religious dogma, although there is religion within it, but also, everyone is at different speeds and everyone moves in different ways and has different experiences. So I just felt like that was kind of a great thing for me to be a part of is understanding how my life could be like a blueprint in not such a domestic way of, you know, 7 steps to freedom. Maybe it could be, this is what I did, and use my life as an example, read the book and see how you could potentially do your own trip.
Yeah, I see. That's cool. You know, I've heard a lot of military service people that whether they were in war or not, you know, that it's just such a shift in the reality to come back to civilian life. And it's too much. So I could see how creating that inner balance, since the outer has changed, you know, from your other balance where you've got to strike this chord. So interesting title. Tell us about this book a bit. So War in the Hearts of Men. What is this? Where is this going? What is it really about?
Well, I love metaphors, and I love speaking in metaphors, and I love like Joseph Campbell and others like that. And so what Maya means in Sanskrit is the illusion. And so illusion is magic. And so I sort of talk about how leaders in the book use magic through symbolism. And I use the Maya people as a backdrop to, okay, what did they do and what led to their demise, right? Their extinction. And how did they trust certain factions of other societies that led to their demise? And a lot of it's about colonialism, and it ties into what I saw when I went overseas with expansion of oil production in Saudi Arabia and jet fighters being built. And I went over there right after the Khobar Towers got blew up. And so that was a giant facility for business and for colonialism. So my book is sort of chronicles my travels throughout Central America, uncovering these art pieces and glyphs that talk about worldwide expansion pre-Spanish influence in Central America. And I contrast it with how we're doing it today and how we've done it and where I see that it's headed. And also I use the indigenous folklore and myths and also prophecies to paint a picture of the future and how it might change.
Nice. Well, hey, maybe we could get into some of those prophecies and the change that you're hoping to encourage. So we're going to get to our first break. But first, don't forget to go to HeidiHollis.com or ShadowFolks.com and tell me your stories. Tell me what it is that you've experienced out there in the world. And follow me on social media at @OneHeidiHollis. That is Instagram. That is Facebook. That is everywhere on the planet. All right, you guys, you are listening to Dark Becomes Light with me, Heidi Hollis, on the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network. Stick around. We'll be right back.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold-Blooded,
the Apollo Gym murders, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern.
It's just a shame, you know, that they took him from us.
Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, knocking on doors, uncovering new evidence, including the DNA of a potential killer.
My name is Danny Smith. I'm a detective with Miramar Police Department. This is Scott Weinberger. We're actually reopening an old case, and your name came up.
Untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one murder, but almost a dozen.
I thought they were going to kill me, so I kept my mouth shut and I didn't say anything. All these years, I didn't say anything.
Listen to Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s.
She looked like a million bucks.
With zero qualifications.
She had a Harvard plaque.
Tricks her way past a wall of lawyers and agents.
She's got all of these Maseratis and Bentleys all in the driveway.
Is it like a mansion?
Yes, it's a mansion that this queen of the con uses to scam some of the biggest names in professional sports out of untold fortunes.
About $6
million? Approximately $11 million.
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
Employing whatever means necessary to bleed her victims dry.
She would probably have sex with one of her clients.
Hide your money in your old rich man, because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Started talking about this incident. Drugs and officials cover up. You couldn't believe it.
From iHeart Podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now? Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
There's no way that that guy's a doctor.
I'm Paul Pringle, and I'm an investigative reporter for the LA Times. This is the story of an investigation that starts in a hotel room in Pasadena, California, and reaches all the way to the top of two of the most powerful institutions in the city of Los Angeles.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
This is Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption.
We're always going to have predators. It's the good people who stand by and do nothing that allow them to flourish.
Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. You are listening to Dark Becomes Light with me, Heidi Hollis, on the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network. We have our guest here, Eli Koberly, and we are discussing his book, War in the Hearts of Men. And you've come across some really fascinating elements that you wanted to share when it comes to ancient rituals and geometry and how it has affected today and how you can change it. So let's get into some of that.
Sure, sounds good. One of the places that I know is really popular in this vein is Palenque in Chiapas, Mexico. And, you know, you've seen a lot of that on Ancient Aliens. They talk about it. And one of the things that I've linked is this, if you go to the Cross Group, it's a site or a part in Palenque where there's three pyramids and they have a story to tell with the lineages and the cosmos and this sort of thing. But in the very center of those three pyramids down on the ground is like maybe what might have been a sacrificial platform or something like that. But if you were to take a drone and fly it above, you would see a cross, right? And, you know, a Christian cross was really popular when the Spanish people started to show up on the shores of the Central America to enslave the indigenous and take their land. But the reason why it was so popular is to them, they already had a cross, right? And they noticed that. So That cross in the center there is actually has corners and it has angles and sides. And if you line it up on the Sri Yantra, which is the ancient device of India, you will see that it lines up perfectly if it's to scale. And so what you find out is not only is the Sri Yantra of India and this thing in Palenque, not only are they mathematically the same as the same number of spinal segments and teeth that we have in our mouth, mm-hmm. plus the seven chakras, which is a rainbow, you have 72. Okay.
Yeah.
And so 72 times two is 144. And 144 is the number, or 144,000 or 72,000 is this the number of certain lengths of time that the Maya measure in the cosmos and in our physical time.
Okay. Wow. Huh.
And yeah. And so what I've figured out is that the ancients all around the world, and this is something that they won't talk about in Ancient Aliens or other things, or maybe they have, I haven't seen episodes in a while, but is that we have a mathematic equation written in stone and symbology that represents the body and how it travels through time and space. And karmically, it's linked to interesting potential.
Wow. Okay. And what can we do about it? what can we do about this? There are potential. I always talk about the human potential, and I don't feel like things are necessarily written in stone, though it may be an ancient ruin somewhere. But I'm always optimistic that we can change our patterns, change our ways, and, you know, make something, learn from our past mistakes that are etched in stone, you know? It's like, how do we make sure that we're, keeping it rolling and serving ourselves better?
Well, what I figured out is if it's mathematical, the way we travel through time and space and there's trauma, well, each chakra in the Vedic tradition of India talks about emotions, right? And there's different time periods and it overlaps. So, there's only five chakras or seven, you know, it depends on the time period. But what I will say is that, you know, one example would be the first chakra would be the root chakra. And maybe when you were young and you were growing up, someone told you that you weren't good enough and you believed them. And what I do know is that trauma gets stored in the body, right? And so if trauma is stored in the body, we believe that in our mind, chemically, that the trauma and it prevents us from having a full spectrum experience throughout the chakras. So energetically, you could talk about it, but also physically, how we interact with others and how we take chances. And that's why I say how we travel through time and space mathematically is directly linked to how we can project ourselves in the future for a fuller experience in life that's not limited to our past.
Ah, okay. You know, I am so not good with chakras and, as I was mentioning, meditation and all those types of things. You know, I hear it. I hear great things about it. I'm just so unfamiliar with it, though it's been around me at times. But when you said there how people will store trauma in their bodies, I'm a big believer of that. I'm an occupational therapist profession, working with behavioral mm-hmm. health and, you know, physical disabilities and whatnot. And you ask anybody that's ever, you know, hurt themselves when they're younger and it hurts them later, oh, that's a form of trauma. But there's also the memories that get unlocked when I'm working with a patient and they're just like, you know, it's like this happened, and they start opening up, you know, when you're working on a certain part of their body and they start talking about something, they might get teary eyed or emotional. And it's like this unlocking, and you think it's not always related. It really isn't always related to what you're doing, but something gets unlocked there that they had stored that I think surprises them as much as it surprises a therapist like myself. Have you come across that?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I've used to teach Thai massage with a friend of mine in Santa Barbara, and we would deal with all sorts of traumatic experiences, people in tears. Certain smells would set it off, and it would almost just be like a freeing of their emotions, letting go. And so the senses are really powerful in how we interact. And oftentimes when the same sense that will come up like this, you'll see the color orange and you'll, the wind will blow. And you remember that time when you're walking down the street and you saw a bunch of flowers and the wind picked up and you tripped and fell on the sidewalk or something. And it's stored in your mind. And every time you see orange now, it affects how you interact with
the world. Yeah, for sure. No, and the thing is, it's like, okay, now that they spoke of it, they released it into the air. How do they make sure it doesn't return? You know, it's like the war in the hearts of men, right? It's like, how do you get that war out?
I think it's cyclical because like the indigenous talked about time is cyclical and it, and you're never cured from anything. You only just realize the relationship of the mind to the body and the potential for the opening of the heart.
Interesting. Wow. Yeah. I mean, it's such a process. The human body, the humankind, I mean, consciousness, soul-wise, it's so complicated, but it's absolutely all connected. And I don't know about you, but I get a little bit frustrated when people don't seem to acknowledge these other levels to themselves. And they're very physical and they're very just a much about what they can move with their hands or create with their hands, you know, and don't go above and beyond. Do you think that wall, that barrier that we create is sometimes the problem in making these connections?
Yeah. It's the sort of masculine drive that can be out of balance at times in the individual where you have to strive to build buildings and monuments and your own architecture, leave your own mark, be somebody, you know, and that's becomes more important than enjoying life or having certain freedoms or interest. And that's why I believe yoga is so good because like I was the same way. I walked into yoga studio for the first time and I said, oh, that guy's doing a handstand. Well, I could do it for 5 minutes. He could only do it for a minute and that makes me better. Right.
Ah, right. Right.
And so if it, then that's the yoking of the mind and the body and the soul is you start to realize that the physicality is just such a surface part of tip of the iceberg.
No, oh, it's so frustrating, but sometimes I'm envious of people who just stay in the physical because when you're really aware of what's going on out there, it could really make you lose some sleep. I'm always blown away with some new revelation, some new information, and I'm like, wow, there's another layer. And you know, nobody has all the answers, but we sure can help each other, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, we're constantly learning.
Yeah. It's like I get inspired every day by something new. But the geometry, what about that element?
Well, I would say that also part of that is something I did was, you know, I traveled to Nazca in Peru a couple of times and I went into the Nazca lines. I flew ahead and I saw the star glyph and the star glyph they talk about, you know, it's the same as the Sri Yantra. It's essentially mathematically and geometrically the same. But also it lines up with the Kabbalah of the Jewish people. And then you have the Chicana of Peru, which is a stepped up cross. And then you have this in Palenque you have Pakal's tomb and Pakal's tomb is this cross and it lines up as well and it's the world tree, the tree of life, and then you have the tree of life of course in the Nordic people. So it's just kind of all it's as you know they talk about, oh, it's as if they left something behind to show us and it got erased. And yeah, it did. And it's around the world. And that's the missing piece of it all is how we travel and in sacred geometry is an eye opener for how that works in the ethers.
Fascinating. Well, we're going to get to our next break here, because I want to dive into some of the more spiritual elements that you personally have gone into, because there's no way that you travel to some of the places that you have and not experience some of the stranger elements of life. I mean, sometimes people keep it in the arena of just, you know, it was an inner experience, but oh no, I know these places and they are weird. So I'm hoping that you'll open up about that after the break. You guys, you are listening to Dark Becomes Light with me, Heidi Hollis, on the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network. Stick around. We'll be right back with more Eli Coverley.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpert.
It's just a shame, you know, that they took him from us.
Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, knocking on doors, uncovering new evidence, including the DNA of a potential killer.
My name is Danny Smith. I'm a detective with Miramar Police Department. This is Scott Weinberger. We're actually reopening an old case, and your name came up.
Untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one murder, but almost a dozen.
I thought they were going to kill me, so I kept my mouth shut and I didn't say anything. All these years, I didn't say anything.
Listen to Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s.
She looked like a million bucks.
With zero qualifications.
She had a Harvard plaque.
Tricks her way past a wall of lawyers and agents.
She's got all of these Maseratis and Bentleys all in the driveway.
Is it like a mansion?
Yes, it's a mansion. That this queen of the con uses to scam some of the biggest names in professional sports out of untold fortunes.
About $6
million? Approximately $11 million.
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
Employing whatever means necessary to bleed her victims dry.
She would probably have sex with one of her clients.
Hide your money in your old rich man, because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Started talking about this incident. Drugs and officials cover up. You couldn't believe it.
From iHeart Podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now? Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
There's no way that guy's a doctor.
I'm Paul Pringle, and I'm an investigative reporter for the LA Times. This is the story of an investigation that starts in a hotel room in Pasadena, California, and reaches all the way to the top of two of the most powerful institutions in the city of Los Angeles.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
This is Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption.
We're always going to have predators. It's the good people who stand by and do nothing that allow them to flourish.
Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. You are listening to Dark Becomes Light with me, Heidi Hollis, on the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network. I have Eli Coverley, and we were getting into his book, War in the Hearts of Men. And, you know, you've done some really fascinating travels. You've gone to some deep forests and spooky locations, or mysterious. And I am pretty certain if you've gone to these places that you've experienced something, and I want to hear about it, and I'm sure the listeners do too. So please, do share. Let's hear some of these, Eli.
Sure. One of the things that I was talking earlier about, the Nazca Lines in Peru, and it's the geoglyph rocks that are, you know, etched in the desert, and there are all these different glyphs and all these, you know, there's debate about where they come from, how do they, you know, who actually made them and why are they still there, all this stuff. But, you know, I've been up there over the lines in the desert in a Cessna in a little plane. And one of the things I do is I read Akashic records, which is the ether in sort of like the past, present, potential, future of the soul. Well, my teacher taught me how to read locations. And that was the most fascinating part for me, because I was like, whoa, all the locations I've been to, what stories could they tell? And, you know, I have a good imagination, so I wouldn't claim that this is directly from God or anything like that. You know, I just thought it was fascinating to experience. Yeah. But what I did is when I got on the plane, I opened up the Akashic records of the Nazca lines in the Nazca Desert. And so while I was overlooking these monkeys and different animals and spiders and stuff, and the different glyphs, is I noticed this voice, this inner dialogue that was talking about people and how the evolution of people and the DNA of the people over the course of millennia in the desert there, and how there was DNA being manipulated there, and also there was bits of colonialism practices, like ancient stuff looking for minerals, and it showed me sort of like this picture of these people walking through the desert, almost like a slave race type of people looking for minerals for sort of like a superior organization or something like that. And I took it for face value. I didn't write about it, you know, because I wanted to have a more of a mass appeal.
No. Hey, this is the audience for that. I mean, it's we like to get into that kind of thing. So you just revealed the Akashic records. I mean, this is supposedly where anything and everything that's ever happened in the universe gets stored, and you are able to meditate and reach this place and pull out what you'd like. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, it's a sacred prayer that is handed down, and it's also just a method of getting to where consciousness is stored.
How you just kind of casually say that. I just kind of skip over. Well, yeah. Oh, no, that's a big deal, because that is, people know that word and they're like, hold on. Even for myself, I did not know it by that name. I knew it as a library of knowledge, but it was something that I experienced. You know, it's nothing that I go back and forth to access or something. I didn't go in there to do that. I saw it, you know, it's like, oh, I knew that place. But wow. So that's amazing. So what do you personally aim to do when you are in this state where you're, I mean, if you're in front of, like, God forbid, you're going out on a date, do you go Akashic record time? Let me look up and see what's this person's about here in front of me. I mean, you're not doing that kind of thing, are you? Just for the heck of it, to learn something, like cheat a little bit?
No, I do. I talk about how people use magic to cheat in my book, but I would use it for the greater good of mankind. I wouldn't abuse it. It's a great responsibility.
That's awesome.
I have used it with like my kid's mother when we were dating. We're not anymore, but I did use it, and we got some interesting, you know, I said, can I read your Akashic records? It's a good way to get to know someone, right?
Ah, you did. So you did do it, but you got permission first. So, okay.
Yeah, you all have permission.
You know, it makes sense. I mean, it's like, hold on, I have the answers to the universe. Let me try this. You know, I it's something that, you know, I've heard people being able to access like that. I had no experience with it, but, you know, there's something I wanted to mention too and talk about. I find a lot of veterans, who seek these similar paths. They do a lot of deep thinking, traveling, trying to find this different self. I mean, do you find that you're running into a lot of veterans as well on these paths?
On these paths, unless I'm at a retreat, I don't really talk to anyone. I'm smiling at the indigenous people and asking them questions. I might go to a ceremony or something or meet up with a group of people for a while, but generally I'm solo and I'm meditating and I'm writing and I'm experiencing things all on my own. I did actually once, now that I think of it, I ran into a guy that was stationed in Fort Bragg, like I was, that was running a mule. He had a company that did tours to El Mirador in Guatemala, and he had a team of mules that he worked with, and he was out there smoking cigars, and, you know, he was an fellow, but he wasn't the same. He was just offering tours, you know. For him. But I met some people that were veterans. I run into veterans all the time. We talk, you know, I'd say more so like in California where I live.
Yeah. Wow. It's amazing. Yeah. I just, you know, it's like physically fit, you know, getting back from being enlisted and just explorers, you know, so able to just like pick up and say, hey, I need to try something different. That's what I've run into quite a bit. And I commend them. I mean, how neat to feel free enough to do that, because a lot of people, I think they get caught into the humdrum of everyday life and they don't explore, you know, they don't look into different things, and, you know, and it's not always needed, of course. You know, I am quite Christian myself and I keep on that path. And, but I find, you know, learning from other cultures and seeing the patterns, I'm all into patterns, you know, how things connect, how we have things in common with certain things, and that might actually help others, I don't know, find balance, you know? Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So, I mean, if there was anything that you hope people pull away from your book, what would that be?
I think it would be that there's something greater to the mundane existence of the 9 to 5 and the sort of commercial idealism. I think that we've been fed a lot of things that were good for money making rather than soul searching or individual connection to the root of what's more important for the soul.
Yeah. You know, I think that was done on purpose. I call people that explain the world to us for our own good, so we don't go and experience it for ourselves. I call them wizards, because they, you know, just look at my hands and what I'm doing here. Don't look behind the curtain. Look here, you know. So I think it's a shame, and it's wonderful that somebody like yourself goes out and, you know, and finds some answers and tries to reach back and help others do the same. So how can people get a hold of your book, or you have a website that you could share?
Thanks. Yeah, it's War in the Hearts of Men. It's on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and I think Kobo or something like that. Eli Coberly, and that's my website, and also Instagram. I'm pretty active on there. I share a lot of photos of my travels or what I'm up to. That's Eli Coberly on Instagram.
Wonderful. Well, I want to thank you so much for coming on the show. This was interesting. I love this kind of you know, new topics. I like to explore and check out what's going on out there. And yours is really different. And I really appreciate you.
Thanks, Heidi. I appreciate you.
Well, fascinating conversation. I learned something new every day. I hope you guys did as well. And, you know, I gotta tell you guys, I have been a comic strip artist for a while. You all know this, right? And I took a bit of a hiatus from my comic, which is a paranormal comic strip, called The Outlanders. Okay, that there's Bigfoot, there's aliens, there's ghosts, and all the townspeople of Milltown, and yeah, just quite different. And I restarted up again, got more time on the hands, because boy, do I keep busy. So I want to invite you to go check it out. Follow it on Instagram, The Outlanders Comic. And also go to theoutlanderscomic.com and tell me what you think. It's a single panel type of comic strip. And it's all I ever wanted to do growing up. If that sounds familiar, and any plot that you've ever seen, well, now you know the inspiration. I'm just kidding. You know, I'm a fan of Carol Burnett. I mean, she's old fashioned, just awesome, pure comedy, right? And I saw one of her, before she would do her big show, she took a question from the audience, and they said, what would you be doing right now if you weren't doing comedy? She's like, I always wanted to be a comic strip artist. And then, oh my, my jaw hit the floor, and I'm like, I just love her even more now. You know, I was like, just totally after my heart, because hot diggity dog, that is me. So yeah, please go check it out. And also, you guys, don't forget to go to HeidiHollis.com and ShadowFolks.com, which go to the same website, and tell me your stories. The more detailed, the better, okay? Please do not send me those one-liners. I get those one-liners, you know, if you want to hear more, write me. No, write me. If you have photos, if you have drawings, just email those on over to HeidiHollis@gmail.com. And really appreciate that. I think I need to put a page on my site with some of the drawings and photos and whatnot. And I think I might have mentioned that here on the program. But, oh, man, time gets away from me. And I'm like, did they put that up yet? And by the way, you guys, on my next show, I might have a really, really big announcement that might be really up your alley. Uh-huh. Yes, I think you're going to find it interesting. But anyways, you know, I'm teasing because I had two people contact me and say, when are you going to do this? In the same day, guys. So I'm taking the hint and I'm going to dedicate my next weekend to getting something done. But all right, you guys, you have been listening to Dark Becomes Light with me, Heidi Hollis, on the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network. Stay safe, everybody. Goodbye.
Well, if you liked this edition of Dark Becomes Light, wait till you hear the next one. You've been listening to the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold-Blooded, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halper. Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one case, but almost a dozen. Listen to Cold-Blooded, the Apollo Gym Murders, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s...
She looked like a million bucks.
...scams a bunch of famous athletes out of untold fortunes...
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
It's just unbelievable.
Hide your money in your old rich man, because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
From iHeart Podcasts.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now? Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
I'm Paul Pringle, an investigative reporter for the LA Times. Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption, on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.